Now, sometimes telling stories can be a dangerous political act. In the 1980s, the Singaporean novelist and playwright Wong Suk Yee decided to tell stories about the impact of government policies on ordinary lives. And she wrote a play about a policy to encourage women with graduate degrees to have more babies. Another one she wrote on the plight of Filipino domestic workers in Singapore. She tells Kate Evans what happened next.
In 1987, there were 22 of us arrested and detained under the Internal Security Act, which allowed the government to detain people without trial.
Were you all artists?
No. Of the 22 people, there were five of them, including myself, who were from this theatre group that we set up called Third Stage. The rest are social workers. They work for the Catholic Church. There are others who are lawyers, professionals who were involved in the law society with the opposition Workers' Party.
And this was part of what was known, I believe, as Operation Spectrum. So you were accused of being part of a Marxist conspiracy. How did you respond at the time? Were you surprised? Did you expect this?
On the first day of my arrest, I didn't know what was happening. I have no idea. In fact, I didn't know all 22 people who were, I don't know who else were arrested besides myself. So, and then the interrogation officer told me that, yeah, well, of course, he started off, he didn't tell me about this Marxist conspiracy, but eventually, yeah, I got to know that I'm supposed to be one of these Marxist conspirators. I've never heard of that. And actually, I was quite ignorant about what Marxism is. So, they have worked out this Marxist network, and my theatre group was one of the groups involved in this network to overthrow the existing social political system in Singapore. That was an allegation against me.
And in the time that you were jailed, you made a confession at some point during your detention?
It was not a blatant confessions in the, oh yes, I was a communist, I wanted to overthrow the government. Well, the government had become a little bit more subtle than what they used to be. Yeah, in the old days, in the bad old days, in the 60s, during the fight for independence, many of the detainees were labeled as communists. But when it came to my friends and I in 1987, they labeled us, that's why it's called Operation Spectrum. It means these people came from a spectrum of redness. Some are liver red, some are orange or pink. So I think in the scheme of things, they put me under sort of a left inclining. But still, nevertheless, it's still a crime because I've been made use of by the bigger guys.
And how long were you detained in 1987?
In 1987, I was detained for 4 months. But after I was released, some of the ex-detainees and myself, we issued a statement to declare our innocence and to allege ill treatment during detention. And also to say that what we said, our so-called confession, had been manipulated.
So you and others made this public statement saying that you'd been manipulated and wrongfully detained.
Yes.
This was in 1988.
Yes.
What happened in response to that?
And the day it came out in the mainstream newspapers, the four policemen from the Internal Security Department, they came knocking on my door, and there we go again. I was taken to the detention center. But this time, there were less interrogation because it's just a continuation of my 4 months detention. I mean, there weren't any more questions to be asked except that they want to know who was the leader, who instigated the statement, the public statement that we issued. So the second time around, the detention was purely to punish us for daring to issue the statement.
And how long were you detained that second time?
Yeah, this time I was detained for 11 months. Three times that of my first crime, which was to overthrow the government, that I got 4 months for my first time detention, and the second time it was 11 months.
Did you get much support from the theatrical or arts community in Singapore?
Very sad to say, the majority of the Singaporeans and theatre groups especially, they were paralysed by fear because they did not know when they'll be next. I mean, that's the whole idea of arrest and detention, is to instill fear into the hearts of those who are not yet arrested.
So it had a big impact on the whole culture of
the country. And I mean, there are other theatre groups who have now, they have come up and said, they were really frightened.
So what happened when you were released? Could you stay in Singapore? What did you do?
I could stay in Singapore, but there were restriction orders, including we are not allowed to meet fellow ex-detainees. And we're not allowed to leave the country unless we get permission from the director of the Internal Security Department.
But Sukhi, you did end up leaving Singapore.
Yeah.
Where did you go and what were you doing?
I left Singapore a few years after my release. I left in 1992 for Hong Kong, and I got a job in Hong Kong as a video producer for a small production house. And then I didn't really feel that I fit into the Hong Kong film industry, and I went back to writing for a magazine.
You ended up also coming to Australia to study postgraduate writing here.
Yeah.
Why Australia?
I was accepted by University of Western Sydney, and it was a course that I thought I would be interested in. Yeah, it was in communications and cultural studies.
And you did a PhD here as well.
Yeah, I did a PhD at the University of New South Wales.
Sukhi, you returned to Singapore. Was it a different Singapore when you returned?
Yes, I was actually pleasantly surprised that things had changed for the better. That's because I see lots more younger people. They are not too concerned about building a career as it had been in the past for me. Yeah, younger people, they were involved in social activities. They are showing a bit more concern. But here I'm saying it's a small group. It's not like the whole of Singapore have woken up. Okay, it's a small bunch of young people. So we also have Hong Lim Speakers Corner. This is a park in Singapore where you can speak freely without having to get a police permit. Everywhere else, you can't. Otherwise, you'd be arrested for illegal assembly. And also with events of social media. So there are more people speaking up against policies that affect them. Yeah, and there are more groups, more theatre groups, more NGOs doing things.
What about the ability to speak up as a playwright? Because I think you've actually written a play about your experience in detention. What was it and how was it received?
I put up this play in 2013. Oh, it was a long obstacle course. There were several problems the government had placed in front of us. Firstly, there was this theatre group who commissioned me and to do this play, Square Moon. Right after it was announced that they're commissioning us, the National Arts Council called up the director of the theatre company, telling him that he had to drop me and the play Square Moon, otherwise they will face a cut in funding.
And what happened?
So they succumbed to the threat and they dropped us from the festival.
So were you able to put this play on somewhere
else? Yeah, so we have to do it on our own. I have a group, an NGO, and my friends and I raised the money to stage it on our own. But we don't really have the technical expertise. I mean, I'm more a playwright. So losing the theatre group who was supposed to commission us, I mean, we didn't have the technical expertise. So we have to rely on other people to come on board to help us. That was only the first obstacle. There were more. Shall I go on?
Please do.
So we managed to get together a director, a crew and a cast to do this play. We applied for a license. We need to have a license to perform plays. And they gave us a R21 rating, which means only people above 21 years old are allowed to enter the theatre. So people, students in the university, those below 21, they can't watch the play. And the third one was on the first performing night, actually we got a full house. But when the curtain was raised, there were three rows, two rows in the near the front and one row at the back. They were all empty. And they were not complimentary seats. We sold the tickets for those seats, but they were all empty. So we were left to speculate that it could be bought by the government agency just to demoralize the performers.
Even so, it sounds like it's quite a difficult cultural context for making a political play. And so instead, you've now written a thriller. You've written a novel. Mm. And it's called Death of a Permsec. What period is that story set?
It was set in the 1980s, but there are flashbacks to the 60s when Singapore was rolling towards independence.
That period and that transition towards independence, is that addressed very much in Singaporean writing?
No, not at all. In the last few years. There have been more books, fiction and non-fiction, that touch on the history of our independence. Who are the real heroes? Who were the unsung heroes? Yeah.
Suki, how would you assess the artistic community in Singapore? How brave is it as a community? How able to be critical?
I hate to say this, but not very much. We have a few bold people, courageous people, but they need support from the state. The National Arts Council, to be fair to them, they have good people there. They have tried to give financial support to many theatre groups, arts groups. But there's a clause there's a condition to the funding they give that the artistic works produced by these groups cannot disparage the Singapore government, cannot undermine the work of the Singapore government. It is very clearly written as one of the conditions for the funding to be given.
Suki, you are a member of the Singapore Democratic Party and you've stood as a candidate at election. Is artistic freedom one of the platforms on which you stand?
No. I'm ashamed to say that, but artist friends will hate me for that, but because we are running a national elections and not many Singaporeans care about the arts. They care more about bread and butter issues. They care more about what will happen to their pension money, the CPF. Yeah, so I did not talk about art censorship at all.
Playwright and novelist Wong Suk Yee, and she was in Australia in 2017 to speak at the University of New South Wales about her experiences. And as Kate said, her latest book is a thriller. It's called Death of a Permsec. It's published by the Singapore publisher Epigram Books, and Sydney listeners can find it in the University of New South Wales bookshop. And she was speaking there with Kate Evans for RN Summers Books and Arts.